And I can remember years ago when he started dealing with me about the tithe. So I finally, you know, he just wouldn't stop. Because you pray something out in the Holy Spirit, then he gives you the truth in it, and it's up to you. And problem is, and I tried not to teach it, it's the only thing that kept circling around. So once we begin to teach that, and Gary got that, he's got the whole lamb. The whole lamb. He said, God give it to him. He went on in. But the problem that it brought was, and I had a vision years ago, kind of a cornfield, and we learned something that caused it to go down to two stalks. And I was hanging on to the two stalks and says, at least they're mine. I believed them in. The whole field was taken, but I had my two stalks. Well, I find out basically somewhat what it's about. Because when you take this road, you know, you decide and you're just not going to hurt anybody. You're just not going to do that. You're just going to stop. You are in there while he came. When he says, man that does my sayings builds his house on the rock. And of course, you know what his sayings were in Luke 6. When he says, a man, do good to them that hate you, pray for those who despitefully use you, and they slap you on the cheek, turn the other one, and they come and take your goods away, don't ask them again. So that's how we're supposed to treat the sinner, much less other believers. So knowing this, I know it's you that he came for. He came for them. Now, he can't take us out. I mean, he can't take us out of the world and save the sinner. He'd have nothing to work with if he did. He needs us. And this world is it's terminating itself. When Adam sinned, it was scheduled for termination in something over 7,000 years. We have millennial coming up. It'll be the end of that. It'll terminate. Right now it's laboring in that imperfection. Earthquakes, tidal waves. I mean, people just dying in records. Because that's how the planet is. We're here. Every kind of disease is rampant. I remember hearing something about new viruses being born. And he let me know the devil had something to do with that stuff. There's things you can come in contact now. Just come in contact with them and breathe them and they're a death penalty. Plus, you talk about a violent world. I mean, how many species destroy their own kind for what they have and kill their unborn? I mean, how many species does that? Yet he loves the whole mess. But he doesn't leave us here. How's he going to get them? See? How's he going to get them? When he brought a conclusion to spitefully use you, pray for those and do good to them that hate you, and all the way down the list there. And he takes your goods, ask them not again. And he comes to a conclusion on that part. He says, so judge not, condemn not, forgive everything, and then give. And it shall be given to you, heaped down, pressed together, shaken, running over. Will I tap people on the shoulder and say, man, give unto his bosom. hey, give unto his bosom. Hey, when he starts doing that, they're gonna give. So what Luke 6:38 was about, as you know, is that if you hold the blood of Jesus up across the void of spiritual death, no matter what hell does to you, you won't put it down. Whatever it costs you, he's gonna heap it together, run it over, shake it down. Give it back to you. if he doesn't have you? Say, who does he have? So in Hebrews 11, when he talked about the good report, the Old Testament saints that believed God received, he told the exploits they did, but then he went on to say, in conclusion, but they without us should not be made perfect, because they had to step over into this sonship. They had to be born again. So they without our dispensation could have never been made perfect. Well, then he goes on to say, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith in 12. But as he goes on, he talks about us being children, and what son of a father does he not scourge? And he says, and if you're his son, you will not go without chastisement, or else you would be, and he used a word that we usually don't use anymore, but it means illegitimate. Even though it's wrote in the word, I could say it legally, but it'd sound bad. So I'm thinking, how does he scourge? I mean, scourges. He says your natural fathers do it after their own pleasure, but he for your good. I suspected that. How would he scourge? What does he do? You know, your child goes and puts his hand on a stove. You know, you see him getting ready to go do that. You say, no, no, no. You know, don't put your finger on the stove. No. And he goes, okay. Then, when you're not looking, he goes, I don't know where they got that nature. But he goes, and then you see him, you go, I said, no. Oh. So he backs off. Then he waits till you're gone. Yeah, if there were a little thing in him, he knows I'm not supposed to do that. He waits till you're gone, and he goes, ah, and the Lord says, I tried to tell you, stopped you and tried to tell you, now you're going to hurt and your hand's going to hurt. I guess I'll step in soon as I can, but I guess you just brought this on yourself, didn't you?
Well, God, can't you just bring me out of this thing?
What, do you want to be taken out of the world? You know the problem with moving one mountain? You get up the next day and there's another one. There's something, you know, what do we have to live? Change the world around me and I'll live holy. That's coming, but not right now. As unholy people that occupy this planet, have you noticed that? Well, I'm thinking, God, how are you going to scourge me? Well, look what he's looking for in these things. I just love Peter, you know, his analogy. I like one verse. He says, when you go and do through these things, he says, the good thing to do is commit your soul to good works. Here, all hell's caving in on you. You're supposed to commit your soul to good works. Thank you. Now I know how to occupy. Thank you. Thank you very much. But watch what happens in a couple of these tests and trials he talks about. So, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Oh, I love this. The elders which are among you, first verse, 1 Peter 5. I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. Ooh, are you getting that? Oh, my. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Hey, we're not guilty for not doing that. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Well, you know, how about a miracle wallet? But willingly. And oh, okay, not for filthy lucre. Okay, I guess that's out. But of a ready mind. Neither as being lords or super submission, gods over God's heritage, but rather he's supposed to lead them by being an example. That's that super submission. I thank God that that's died out quite a bit. But boy, who was it big 30 years ago? You couldn't even take your car for an afternoon ride without calling and getting permission. I remember I went to New England and preached a meeting there, and it happened to be my meeting, so I didn't have to be afraid of super submission. And I did get some calls, and they said, "Why didn't you ask for permission to come into this area?" Because I didn't want to. Well, a gal come over that has crippled in one leg for in her feet for some time, and well, she got healed and went back to the church to rejoice. And this woman did not ask him if she could go to the meeting, and then she went to the library and checked out a book, and she didn't ask if they could do that. And he literally turned a woman over 20 years old over his knee and whipped her with a paddle. Well, he said, not by constraint. How about making me a little God? I'll do okay. Not by constraint. Supposed to rule by example. Boy, I like what he says here next. Because I want to know how God scourges. See, he says, again, 3, neither us being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the older, yea, and all you be subjected one to another. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, the unteachable, and gives grace to the humble or the teachable. So he says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, how would I do that? A casting all your care upon him. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing this, how you're resisting, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Then 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, knows that, notice this, after that you have suffered a while, after you suffered a while, makes you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So he resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble you just therefore under the mighty hand of God. How? So he can exalt you in due time. How? By casting the whole of your care on him, for he cares for you. You cast all your care over unto him so he can lavish his care on you. And it gives you the reason for it. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about looking for people who are full of care, because you're his breakfast. Makes you devourable. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. Now, leading up to this, he talked, he gave the different kinds of trials, and the ones that you cause, because you're angry and mean. He says you better endure that with patience when it comes back on you. But the suffering that you do for the gospel's sake, he said, in that you should rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And the first safe place is you being able to cast all of your care over onto him, because that is the place where the devil is resisted the most. Well, he said, after you suffered a while, everybody just hates that. Generally, we get ourselves into it. But after that, you suffered a while, the God of all grace, who? Unmeritable, unearnable favor. The God of all grace, what establishes and settles you and strengthens you? Or did he say, he comes in like a barnstorm, kills all your enemies, eliminates anything that caused your test and trial, puts you under a baked palm leaf with somebody waving it, and gives you a strawberry milkshake? Ooh, that's delivered. Yeah, but the problem is, you have to have everything around you changed so that you can operate. You need some growing. Because he left us here. And if not us, then who? When he said, establish, settle, and strengthen you, the God of all grace, after you've suffered a while, to tell you the truth. The reason he called him the God of all grace, because he really steps in. He really steps in almost before he's legally supposed to. But when we're striving in things and care's coming and we're choosing all of it and the circumstances are beating us and we're being destroyed, he's there. And if you take his direction, I'll tell you what, he'll take you into a permanent solution. Permanent solution isn't a temporary deliverance. Is first to come to the place of the peace and no care that you can reign out of that place in. Then he doesn't have to take you out of this world and there isn't anybody you can't reach. Again, how does that scourging come? And your children are growing up, how do you start with them? No. And pretty soon they'd sneak up, you catch them, pow. But the next time, if they still can get away with it, they'll just run on into the problem. You know, and when we do that, then usually the God of all grace, who can measure a space, you know, he's waiting for you to turn and do the right thing. But the good part is, he's always willing to step in. So if you hold your ground, you're going to end up getting strengthened. You don't have to go the wrong direction. When you stand, you think, I can't take it anymore, I can guarantee you, you can. You can take it, and you can still love him, and you can still win people. Hallelujah. Shall we look at one more? How about James, the first chapter? Ooh, I love it. James, chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy. And Paul is the extreme example. And he's the pleasure. Do you know that he's thorn? Yes, I do. You know what it means? I believe so. Well, how about that? Lest I be exalted above measure. I think so. Is it in this series? Yes. Because he's the extreme. But look at this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into the diversities or diverse temptations, which this one is going to be the lusts of the flesh or circumstantial. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith, it works patience. But see, that patience can really turn out for a long, long time if you don't work the word with your patience. You have to believe what he says. Well, I tell you, really feels good not have to be taken out of this world. To walk in a measure of peace to where I know I'm going to get some equipping that I need. Because I'm going to get to go into hell where it's really hot and charge it, you know, charge hell with a water gun. And rescue people in this world is not going to terminate me. Not going to do it. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, testings, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let the patience have her perfect work, you know, that you might be, look at this, perfect and entire. How about a better rendering? perfect and complete, or perfect and mature, lacking nothing. And any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, give to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But this next verse comes to pass more than the other ones. I haven't seen too many real wise believers. Any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, giveth all men liberally, it doesn't seem like it, and upbraideth not, bring no reproach, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitant, dubious and irresolved over everything he thinks, feels, or decides. Let not that man think he's going to receive too much from God. Well, let's skip over this rich man here. We don't want to deal with him right now. And go on down to 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth or trieth any. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, then when lust conceives, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Don't err, beloved brethren. Every good, every gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness, not even a shadow of turning, referring to a sundial. Whew. Boy, I like this. That no man say when I'm tempted, tested, or tried, it's by God. Isn't that good? I mean, why should he have to do that? There's enough of it in the world. What does the scourging come? Oh, usually when you're rebellious and wrong direction, stubbornness keeps him from being able to get you out. Keeps him from being able to move in you the way he wants to, which is first with that incredible peace. You know, those things are not going to get too far. I don't plan on being terminated by a disease. I don't plan on being run over by a train. And I don't want to drown in a tidal wave. Just not going to do it. Oh, it is changed. Let God do skin out of you, but no. And no man say when he's tempted, tested, that he's tempting and testing you. Every man and he's dealing with now is tempting when he's drawn away by his own lust. When lust conceives, it brings forth death, and when that death is finished, or sin, it brings forth death. Well, what was he saying there exactly? It isn't when the devil's trying to tempt you. See, you can't keep him from approaching and throwing things at you, especially for another human being. I can resist him and stand up to him, but it has to be me resisting him with my heart. I don't want what he has. I don't want it. But when he comes, when lust conceives, well, that means what wasn't having any effect on you or your walk, when you gave yourself over to it, it conceived. And the baby that's born is sin. And then the sin births the death. Well, I'm not supposed to say that I'm tempted, tested, or tried to God. I'm not. But here he's talking about when patience has her work, you become perfect, entire, and lack him nothing. Well, if he can't take me out of the world right now, I think the first thing I want, I mean more and more than ever before, I want the equipping that he has in the eye of the hurricane. I want it. Because that stuff isn't going to do me in. So I don't care what he throws at me. It's not worth worrying over. Boy, something happened to me. I lost my wallet. Did it have some money in it? Some. I had no idea where it was. So I drove then. I went home and searched everywhere. And then I was heading back down to my closet. And about halfway down the hill, I thought, what are you doing? What are you doing? You getting upset over this or something? Come on. And boy, all of a sudden, I think he's the one that initiated it. There's a little kind of a micro peace ushered in. Like, wow. Even in these things, this is incredible. So I went to my office. It's a room in the room. I went in there and started worshiping God and having a good time. All of a sudden, you know, this little voice part said it was combined with action, but it said, look there. And I jumped up and I looked there and it was there. I could have wasted time worrying and taking all the care and getting new identifications and my credit card run to the max and cleaned out what I had in it. And I could have went through all that.
Did you?
Not after I got rid of the care. So he wants me. He loves you. He has to leave me here. I want this training. I want it. Paul, the extreme example, which we'll get into. He said, there's not many that made it to where God could use them in judgment. So let me ask you. Sergius Paulus, the governor of Cyprus, well, anyway, island. Bar Jesus was a sorcerer of the Jewish background. But he was a sorcerer who that he would get his information from. And so when Paul come to preach, the witch doctor stood up against Paul. Paul says, why do you always pervert the right ways of God? Being Jewish, he was perverting it under the law. Now he's resisting this. Well, Paul says, how do you like this? You're going to be blind for a season. And darkness fell over his eyes and he's blind. Now, what would you rather be? The witch doctor on the island who lived your life out? Or would you rather Paul come and judged you? You can bet when he got his sight back that he had some things to... I'd rather be the witch doctor Paul judged that ended up in heaven. See, not the other way. So for Paul to be able to operate like that, James says, judgment. Mercy rejoices against judgment. So when you get equipped, it's when you're absolutely that full of mercy and no hurt. And how many knows that the early church under Peter operated in judgment in the second example? It was under Paul. So we know it was there. Paul was out of season. So we know it was there. But the qualifications, you have to be able, you know, full of the kind of mercy that rejoices against judgment. But I can tell you, along with the revival Gary's talking about, we've been talking about for years, if can qualify, that gift will be there. Well, I'm going to practice witchcraft and lead a lot of people to hell. Now let me tell you publicly what's going to happen. Here's your space to repent. Now I was afraid at one time that he wanted me to use me in that gifting, and I just rejoiced that after the one time that it did happen, that it passed. Because I wouldn't care too much about one like that, even though it salvaged people's life. But how many knows? How many knows that we're here? For the lost sheep of our family. That's why we're here. He could have taken us home. I mean, I wouldn't have minded a plan. Salvation, glorification, home. But we're all He has. I want the equipment. I want it. So I want to be established, settled, and strengthened in the middle of hell. Woo! Hallelujah.
You sound like you're welcoming that stuff.
I got news for you. It's coming anyway. What are you going to do? Rain. How about you? Hallelujah. Paul's faith increased incredibly. But that's another story.